2 Kings chapter number 6 tonight. I think I'm getting old. I hate to say it, but I can actually read better without my glasses. Like, I don't know. I know. I don't want that club. I don't like that club. Because these are for seeing distance like that. Now I can see Mr. Burkhart. But if I look down, it just gets blurry. So now I can see. All right. I can also hear better without my mask. I don't know how that all works. Yeah. 2 Kings chapter 6, number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. What they're saying is, there's not enough room. I walk into the room and I'm stepping on Levi and Benjamin over here, and we just got no room. So, like any church building project, we start. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Just if you can imagine the view of this, we got a bunch of sons of the prophets. What are these? These are guys that are kind of involved in the ministry, right hand to Elisha, the prophet at the time, and they just don't have enough room where they're living. So we need a new place. Everybody brings their own tree. And take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there that we may dwell. Now they had some thought. I mean, they're going to make a nice place down by the Jordan River. I mean, that's nice. Don't get too close, it overflows its banks a couple times a year. And he answered, Go ye. One said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Right? They come and they're like, Hey, we got this great idea. We want to go build this thing. And he's like, All right, go ahead. And they're like, Will you come? He's like, All right, I'll go. I will go. I don't see the connotation of the phrase, but I can hear him. I can hear him say it. All right, I'll go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. So this is ministers. These are people that are dedicated to the service of the Lord trying to build a house. And, well, like you can imagine. But as one was felling a beam, felling means to cut down, all right? As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Our one axe head... It's borrowed, and now it's gone. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him and the place, and he cut down a stick. I don't know how he cut down a stick, because the axe head's in the water. Must have had a little Swiss Army knife in his pocket, Elisha. Come prepared. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what seems like maybe a strange story. God, there's a lot here. And God, I pray that we would, again, place ourselves in the story and see what we can learn and that you would show us tonight. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. When I read the story, I think of the Three Stooges, honestly. I think of some people that just are not qualified for building, and here they're trying it. And they're doing their best, but sure enough, there they are by the water. It doesn't say that it fell into the Jordan River, but it's possible. That's where they were looking to build their house and this new place, and that's where they were cutting wood down, and they're cutting a tree. And if you can imagine, there he is, and he's cutting down that tree, and he goes back, and all of a sudden the axe got real light. And it's gone. Today we are splitting some, got a truckload of wood today and cut up a truckload of wood. And chainsaw works really good, but some of them are big. So while I'm cutting things or getting things ready, Joe likes to take some off to the side if I tell him, and he'll split them for me, right? And that's nice for him. So I was getting the next board all measured out, 18 inches, and getting it laid out, and it was kind of close, you know. So I just, because if you've ever split wood before, sometimes it doesn't go as planned, right? I mean, sometimes you miss, sometimes it bounces funny. So I just took a step off to the side just because I know the nature of those things. And that's kind of what happened here. Here he was, and we have broken mauls before, axes before. You use them enough times, and if you hit them on the handle hard enough, they do break. That's not where they're supposed to be hit, but that's what happens. Well, I don't know if the new guys kept hitting the head or whatever it was, but the axe head comes off the stick, off the rod. As I read the story, I think of the axe head, and that's pretty important to building a house for them. There was no Lowe's. Remember, I mentioned Chase Picken the other day, remember Chase Picken? I love Chase Picken. I miss Chase Picken. It was like the Wegmans of, like, people were nice, they knew stuff. That was a day and age, the lifetime warranty on tools, it was great. But there was no Chase Picken, there was no Lowe's, there was no Home Depot. They wanted a house, they had to cut down the trees and make it themselves. And there they were doing their best to try and make a nice house for the sons of the prophets down by the river. I mean, they did pick a nice spot. And then this happens. Well, when I read this, I think how valuable that axe head is. This would be the most valuable tool to their endeavor. And now the job is going to be incomplete. They had one axe head and it was borrowed and now it's gone. If you took an axe head and you threw it into the pond out here, you would either need scuba gear or that thing's gone. You know, kind of in their production, it came to a stop and kind of a crisis. What does he do? He immediately runs to the man of God. He says, "Master, I don't know what to do. We're all stopping." Right? I mean, we're running the chainsaws and today, and we're cutting up wood. And when the tools were done, that sounds much different. Elisha's maybe sitting underneath the juniper tree there or whatever, sitting underneath the tree, sipping some lemonade while the sons of the prophets are cutting down trees. And all of a sudden, got kind of quiet. And then here he comes running, right? A little crisis. You know, in our life, we experience crisis. Thankfully, it doesn't happen every day, but sometimes it does. No one is too great or too low or immune from crisis. Even the greatest men of God that we have record of, biographies, autobiographies, details in scriptures, all had some sort of crisis in their life. And how they handled it really determined how things would go forward from there. And you've had a crisis in your life. Churches go through crisis. Unexplained, unintentional crisis. You know, we're coming up on the anniversary when Pastor Huber passed away. It's almost 3 years now. Crisis. Say, I'll take the axe head over that. Yeah, me too. Unexplained. It seems like everything just came to a stop. Happens in churches. Happens in individuals' lives. All of a sudden there's a diagnosis. All of a sudden there's an accident. All of a sudden there's sin. What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what ends up happening. It's real easy to lose faith. It's real easy to give up on prayer. It's real easy to get discouraged at that time. I think in those crisis times, man, all of a sudden your ears perk up to discouragement much easier. I bet Elijah could have come up and said, "I told you guys this was not a good idea. We are not qualified to do this. We should not be here." You know, sometimes when those crises happen, when the axe head falls in the water, whatever that is in your life, again, you're not immune to it. Sometimes there's a loss. Sometimes there's a loss of vision. The production stopped. Prayer stops. Faith stops. And we get discouraged. What do you do when your most valuable tool is tossed into the water for a short amount of time? I'll tell you what a lot of people do. Unfortunately, they keep swinging. I'll just push through. If you've ever taken I don't do much with axes, but I certainly have swung a maul quite a few times. And if you don't hit Seth, you've taken a maul before. Maybe when you were first starting, because you probably know the distance now and you know right where to put it. But maybe the first time you swung that, or first couple times, and you missed and overcompensated, and the maul head was on the other side of the wood, and then you hit that thing and wow. Man, that hurts your hands. And I'll tell you this. Sometimes our most valuable tool in our life is all of a sudden gone. And what do? Well, we just keep swinging as if it's there. Because I got enough strength to get through that. No, there's no substitute for the tool. You know, we might say this, that there's a false confidence. The axe head's in the water, and there you are with the stick, and you just keep hitting that tree. Boom. Boom. Because that's what you've done. And you think your strength can overcome. There's no substitute for the power of God in your life. But what do you do in the lack of the power of God? Let's look at a couple of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can hold your hand here. We will come back to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We will end on a positive note. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I guess the thought is tonight, have you lost your axe head? 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And you know what that is? That's standing there hitting a tree with a stick. From such, turn away. He says, there's a group of people that don't have the power of God in their life, but they're trying to make it look like that. But the axe head is gone. Well, no, I know how to do this. I got this all taken care of. I know how to... Hey, your strength is no substitute for the power of God. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says this, unto the pure are all things pure. We use that with children, right? We want our children to have those innocent eyes as long as we possibly can. That's why we don't let them watch the news. That's why we keep them away from devices and TV and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because it'll mess up innocence. Let me say this. There's something much more valuable than money. And innocence and purity is it. You can't unsee or unhear or unthink things. So to stay pure as long as you can, that's a blessing. But yet, all too often, I see parents throwing their kids into media, into devices, into TV. Why? Just because it makes it easier for them. That had nothing to do with their message. That was just thoughts. Because the Bible says, unto the pure are all things pure. Keep them pure. Don't give them an appetite for that. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. And even their mind and conscience, the Bible says, is defiled. Look at how it describes them. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Got no axe head. Being abominable and disobedient, even and unto every good work reprobate. Say, that's quite a jump. I mean, we went from just like dealing with some loss and crisis to now being reprobate. Hey, do you understand that if you try and serve the Lord without the power of God or just in your own strength, and you're no different than that. You're pushing something that ought not to be pushed. You need to allow God to work in your life. Using our strength over skill. Like I said, there is no substitute to the power of God. There is no substitute to the power of the Word of God. There is no substitute to answered prayers. There is no substitute that this world can offer to faith. There is no substitute to the church family. There is no substitute to seeing God, the Holy Spirit, work in a person's life and watch true conviction fall upon their life and that they turn from their worldly ways and turn to God. There's no substitute to that. What do we need? We need God working in our life. And yet all too often I feel like the axe head is gone and there we are just swinging a stick, hitting a tree, expecting the thing to fall. Have you lost your axe head, the most valuable tool? And are you trying to use your strength in place of the loss of the power? You know, if we go back to 2 Kings chapter 6, the sons of the prophets were trying to do something good. Finally, thankfully, after a very long process, learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes, the boys are upstairs in the room. Hallelujah. They have carpet, bud. Carpet. It's nice. So we got the boys out of that room, move them upstairs, move the girls from their room into the bigger room. Now the girls got a bigger room. They had a lot of stuff. We moved Hudson into his own room. Hudson's got his own room. He's excited. He says, I don't want a bed. I said, son, what are you going to sleep on? He didn't want to give up his mattress. He set up his tent, put his mattress in the tent. I'm telling you, coolest kid in the world. He was in there studying, reading today. He's got a tent. And he loves it. So nice to have more room. We added, maybe 4 to 5, maybe 400 square feet to our house. Bathroom. That's a blessing. Is too straight for us. We had 7 people trying to use one bathroom. Sunday morning gets a little tough. Brother Rodell, you understand? You know what I'm saying?
I wrote the book.
Yeah, you wrote the book. These guys are just trying to do something good. They were noble in their cause, but yet, accidentally, they suffered loss. So what did they do? They went and got help. Hey, if you're tonight and your axe head is gone, you're just trying to muscle through, why don't you go get some help? So where did he go? I love what Elisha says. They come to him and they say, Master, we've lost it. It stopped everything that we're doing. I didn't mean it. I didn't want it to happen. But what do I do now? And he asks this very great question. He says, where fell it? Where'd you lose it? Go back to where you lost it. God has more work for you to do. He's about to, I was praying tonight. I was praying for these things with light of this message in my head. And I just told God, God, all of these things are going to need a miracle. Elisha takes a stick off a tree. Snap. He says, where'd it fall? He says, it was right in here somewhere. He's like, takes a stick. Brother Perry, you know science. Maybe you can explain this. iron axe head in the ground or in the water, is there a stick that you know of that you can throw in the water to make metal float? No, me either. Nate, you've been doing some reading on God's creation? Anything in your studies? No. So this is a miracle. Elisha comes, snaps the thing off and says, tell me where it is. And he says, I think it was in this area. And he's like, all right, watch. And he throws the stick in. What was Elisha thinking? Was he trying to reach in there? No. The Bible says, and he showed him the place, and he cut down the stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. He's like, here, give me it. There you go. God uses, listen now, ordinary things in our life to perform miracles. In John chapter 9, he takes clay, spits on it, wipes a blind man's eyes, and now he sees. In Exodus chapter 15, a stick gets thrown into water and all of a sudden goes from bitter to sweet. In 2 Kings chapter 2, just a couple chapters before, he takes, there's a fountain that is dried up. He takes salt and he puts it in a cruse and dumps it in the fountain. Water. Just ordinary things in our life to perform miracles. And that's what we're praying for tonight. God, would you work a miracle? Because someone lost their axe head. Man, that first prayer request. Life is going normal. All is good. Feeling a little something right here. Go to the doctor. You have stage 4 lung cancer. God, you got to do a miracle. How about in your life? Have you lost the most valuable tool of the power of God in your life? Are you trying to make it look like it's still there? What should you do? Go get some help. Allow someone to help you through those things. The best thing that that man did was he ran to Elisha. In your life, there's times when crisis hits, and what's the best thing you can do? Certainly run to the Lord. Maybe get some help from someone that walks with the Lord. Unfortunately, all too often we go to God and those that know the Lord as our last resort rather than our first. Try everything. I don't know if it's a matter of pride or whatever it is. But if you lost your axe head tonight, would you allow someone to help you? Say, I'm in the middle of a crisis and I don't know what's going on. His brother Randy King told me, he goes, you can't change any circumstance, but we certainly can pray. I'll go with you to the throne. I don't know how it'll turn out. But I'll be right there. Let's all stand. No one's immune from this. Everyone's going to go through something. It's not because you're lesser, it's not because you're greater. Just how life goes sometimes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that if someone here tonight has lost your touch, lost your power, that God, that they would recognize that. Stop trying to pretend like it's still there.